I would like to read a few verses first of all. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And chapter 1 and 31. That is according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. While we are occupied in the service of the Lord, what is a capacitating element? The power of God. We are only vessels of clay. Only. But there is a treasure. And it is the power of God that is being manifested as that vessel of clay is seeking to show forth the glories of Christ. But then we also have the constraining element. The love of Christ constraineth me. We have the capacitating element and then the constraining element. But then we have the controlling element. Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? Nothing. Only channels, that God may have all the glory. God doesn't need us, but isn't it wonderful that God can use us? Only His grace. Now, we would like to say a few things about the work of the Lord in Venezuela. Thank the brethren for helping us to put up this map here. You will all know where Venezuela is, there in the north tip of South America. Venezuela produces about 3 million barrels of oil a day. But every year there is about 30,000 people killed violently. Quite a contrast. But we are not to speak here about the condition of the country. We're here to tell you a little bit of what the Lord is doing. If when I get down you say what Brother Allen is doing, I will have lost my time. But if when I get down you say what the Lord is doing, it might be a little bit better. The land of Venezuela has been greatly privileged. The work of the Lord commenced around 1910. There was some that went further back. Mr. William Williams here from Toronto arrived in 1910. And a little assembly was formed in the city of Puerto Cabello in 1914. Now there are about 180 assemblies in Venezuela. And you'll say, be careful, David, why are you counting? We better not count too much, right? But it's just to give you a little idea of the way the Lord's work has grown in Venezuela, from San Antonio in the west to Carúpano in the east to Santa Elena de Oirén. This little assembly was formed on the border with Brazil just 2 years ago, right up to Porlamar in the Isla de Margarita. 180 assemblies have been formed. A few would be just maybe a dozen big. Most of the assemblies would be 40, 60 big. Some assemblies would have maybe 300 big. But I would like to say a few things about the assemblies in general before we speak of the work that we are involved in. First of all, I would like to emphasize that the assemblies in Venezuela are praying assemblies. Most assemblies have two weekly prayer meetings. Some have three. And also a Bible reading on a different day. But would that be the reason for the growth? There are praying assemblies. San Rafael Assembly spoke to me once, "We've had 9 weeks of prayers because we want to start gospel meetings. Can you not come to help?" I said, "I can't go at this moment, but go right ahead." Most assemblies in Venezuela would have a few weeks of prayer meetings before the gospel series. But there are praying assemblies. But then there are preaching assemblies. Most of the assemblies in Venezuela have outreaches. There's about 120 outreaches. Some assemblies have two or three outreaches. Some assemblies have as much as 10 outreaches. What is an outreach? Well, Sunday school work, gospel meetings, and all the area around where the assembly has been planted. The brethren are busy working. They're preaching, but sometimes that would cause us a little bit of worry. Is it all work? Is there any worship? There has to be a balance, right? But we could be like Ephesus, working hard, but our hearts are away from the Lord. Our first love is away behind. But there they are, working assemblies, preaching assemblies, and then persevering assemblies. We have to speak very lowly this. Persevering in the doctrine of the apostles. So many other places don't take that into account, right? But what is the main thrust of the assembly? To maintain that doctrine in high. The doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the apostles. But then, not only they're praying and preaching and prospering, there are also prospering assemblies. These last 5 years, about 18 assemblies have been formed. The first decade of this century, 15 assemblies were formed. The last decade of last century, 33 assemblies were formed. Every year, assemblies are formed. And you'll say, well, the preachers are doing a lot of work there, aren't they? No, it's not the preachers. First of all, it's God, but every assembly is working. You heard about the outreaches, right? And most assemblies that are formed every year are formed through the work of the assemblies of the area. And the assemblies have several, every assembly would have several series of gospel meetings, and not a preacher about, and would have weekly house meetings. And most of the assemblies that are formed through the exercise of the assemblies that are already established. But where the gospel arrived, first of all, here in the Valencia area, there would be about 50 assemblies in this area. And then Mr. Williams and Mr. Sayward came out to the Falcon State and then to the Yaracu State, and there would be about 30 assemblies in these two states. In the Cojedes State, where I was brought up, there are now 12 assemblies. Mr. Sayward said to Mr. Williams, "Let's give Cojedes a last try." Mr. Williams says, we'll go to Jericho State. And they gave San Carlos a last try, and souls were saved, and assembly was formed. Three huge cathedrals in San Carlos City, the capital of the state. Now there are four golden candlesticks. The formation of an assembly isn't something that happens from night to the morning. Some of these works have been going on for 15 years, 20 years, sometimes even 30 years before an assembly is formed. The brethren, the Christians in Venezuela, aren't quick to form an assembly. Can it stand on its own? Is there the marks of an assembly there? And there isn't a rush to form assemblies. But we thank God for what He is doing. Assemblies are being formed. Golden candlesticks are being lifted up. In 1994, living in San Carlos, the brethren gave us a letter. Unworthy as we are. And we heard a call from Barinas. The state of Barinas, there was only two assemblies in the state. And I, like the Macedonian call, could hear that man from Barinas say, come and help us. One morning we arrived in the assembly of Barrancas, here just north from Barinas. There was about a dozen in the assembly. It was just struggling. Sisters told us later that sometimes in the prayer meeting night, no brethren would arrive, and they would gather and turn the lights on. After half an hour, no brethren arrived. They would go to the back and kneel down and pray behind in the baptistry. Lord, send someone to Barinas. We arrived that morning for the breaking of bread. A sister with tears came to Sandra. We've been praying for someone to come. Is it you? We felt that the Lord was guiding us, and we moved our few belongings from San Carlos to Barrancas. We rented a house in Barrancas. We didn't really rent it, but a sister lent it to us the first year in Barrancas. About a dozen people were killed about 200 yards from our house. We could hear the shots by night. Sandra says, have we made a mistake? We began preaching in Barrancas, trying to uplift the assembly, and then came to the city. About 400,000 people in the capital of the state, and there wasn't a golden candlestick there. So we began preaching in the city of Barinas. We had the tent up in over half a dozen places, sometimes going on for 9 weeks, sometimes with a little opposition. One night in the middle of the meeting, we had to take a little girl to the hospital. They were throwing stones, and the blood was just pouring down her face. We have to face all these things. But then the Lord began to save in the city of Barinas, and we had one series after another. We don't have much of a breathing space between the series, just one after another. We had meetings in under mango trees, beside shacks, dozens and dozens of places throughout. One soul saved here, another soul saved there. I wanted to see an assembly formed in 5 years. It took more. But God's timing is perfect. The week we were going to form the assembly, I should say something before this. One of the series that we saw more blessing was in a place called El Canal. We put the tent up, and a sister arrived from San Carlos. She says, I'm going to help in inviting. And she would go every afternoon with another sister, and she went to an area. The people says, don't go there. That's red area. She went there. The first week she was getting out about 15 unsaved every night. We would bring them in the vehicle. The second week she was getting about 30 unsaved out every night. What would we do without the sisters? One got saved. Two got saved. And I'm not going to keep on counting. But a nice number of souls got saved in those meetings. One boy, he was coming to the meetings, and one night the car left him behind. And he says afterwards, he saw the car going away, and he said, there goes the car that's going to heaven, and I was left behind. But Freddie got saved, and he would be a great help in the assembly right now. So the assembly in Barinas was formed with about 50 members in fellowship. There are many more things that we could say, but we had exercise about Barinitas. When we were having some Bible classes, a little boy from Barinitas said to us, why don't you have a class in Barinitas? We want to hear more of the gospel. So we went up to Barinitas and we found a place close to where that little boy lived, and we began gospel meetings. Later on, another brother came to help me, Antonio Marcus. He was a salesman in an insurance company. And the insurance company awarded him the prize of the best sailor. Tour in the Caribbean, in a cruiser. And he says, no, I'm not going to waste my time there. He came, and with me he trudged those dirt roads of Barinas, giving out tracks. And he then went up to Barinitas, and the work began in Barinitas, and one after one got saved. And just last year an assembly was formed in Barinitas. They just have a garage for that's rented for you. They don't have a gospel hall yet. Hopefully someday they'll have one. In the assembly of Barinas, we gather in a shed, and we're praying for a gospel hall too there. But we think that the living stones are more important than the concrete stones. But the work is going on. We're preaching right now in Tres Trojos. Antonio, a little brother from this place, he used to come every Lord's Day to the morning meeting on his bicycle, about 25 kilometers on his bicycle. He didn't have enough money to pay the bus, so he would just come on his bicycle. But he would have Sunday schools or Bible classes, because it wouldn't be on Sunday, in this little place of Rastrojos. He'd carry a bunch of chairs on his bicycle, and sometimes carry children on his bicycle to take them to Sunday school. And he worked there in Rastrojos for about 15 years. We started meetings in Rastrojos, and the Lord began to save souls. Was it the preacher? No, it wasn't the preacher. I say, Antonio, the Lord is blessing your work. And there are now about a dozen souls saved in Rastrojos. We're trying to lift up a gospel hall there. We have laid the floor and put up the roof. And there would be about 80 in the Sunday school, and we have three meetings a week. Some very interesting stories there in Rastrojos of souls getting saved. Our girls help there in the Sunday school. It's really a Thursday school. Just a month ago, bringing the children to Sunday school, a large snake was crossing the road. And wasn't going to say her name, but she took her shoe and killed the snake before it bit one of the children. But those are the kind of things that you have to face in those country places. So we are praying for a golden candlestick there in Rastrojos. So this is the large state of Brinas. We are preaching also in Pedraza. And we're seeking to see the word spread to other places. My brother Kenneth is in Elorza. And my brother Andrew is preaching in El Baúl, places where there is no assembly until the present moment. And my brother William is in the very eastern corner of Venezuela in the state of Delta Macuro, where there are a lot of natives, and he has to go out in his boat, and he covers settlement after settlement with gospel texts and preaches to whoever can understand Spanish, but there he is away in that faraway state. But I would like to say a few things about, we would go up every year to Batatal, and we would go every year to Corozo Largo, places where there have assemblies have been formed just recently. In Batatal is a very Andean, up in the mountains, and the people are very Catholic there. The mass in the morning, every morning at 6 in the morning, the temple just fills with people giving out tracts. Well, they'll tear the tract in your face and say, you don't believe in the Virgin. But we saw this assembly formed, and I can't go into the story. What time does the meeting finish at? 11:25, right? Okay. But a little boy got saved in Batatal, and he and his mother, we can't go into the details, started to pray for the family, and one of their family members lived in Corozo Largo, and they started praying for their family, and we went to Corozo Largo, and they went first, and we started meetings every year in Corozo Largo, and souls began to get saved in Corozo Largo. That boy's uncle got saved. And every year we would go down 2 hours driving to Corozo Largo, 2 hours there and 2 hours back. But as you know, the gasoline is very cheap. We have a truck, takes 125 liters of gasoline, and it takes about 2 cents to fill it. 2 cents to fill a 120-liter gasoline tank. But then we can't get tires and can't get parts for the cars. It's a long story, but there we are. We were helping a little bit in the Corozo Largo area, and souls began to get saved. I say this assembly was formed because a little boy was saved in Sunday school, and he started praying for his uncle, and we were giving out tracts every day, and about two houses away from where we were preaching, there was a very rickety house. And I told the brethren, nobody ever goes into that house to invite. Why is that? That's a witch. Be careful. Well, I'm not a very strong man, but I went in. Don Fermin, would you not go to a gospel meeting? He had a patch in his eye, and after talking to him for a while, he says, I will go. Well, we started to pray about that. 7 o'clock, everybody turns around and sees Don Fermin coming into meeting. And a lot of mouths just dropped open. The witch is coming into meeting. He came back the next night and the next night. And then he didn't come back for one night, and we went to see. He was feeling very sick. And the brother who lifted the patch from his eye, when he lifted the patch, a maggot fell out. So he says, we'll take him to the hospital. No, they said in the hospital, he curses and does everything, and they don't want to see him again. So this brother, he was a bit of a nurse. I don't know if you've heard about Creolina. He took a few drops of Creolina and put it into his eye socket. Over 100 maggots came out of his eye. But with every maggot, there was a verse in the gospel. And he preached to that man, Don Fermin. A few nights later, he came back to meeting. But there was a change in him. And I asked him, I went to his house and asked him, Don Fermin, if you were to die, where would you go? He says, I would go to heaven. Are you sure? And why do you say that? I trusted the Savior. The family couldn't believe the change in his life. The witch of the village got saved. But it didn't last very long. I guess those maggots did their work in his brain. And Don Fermin passed away. And you know, the night of the funeral, 400 people were on the street listening to the gospel. We had a meeting at 7 o'clock, and the people were still there, so we had another one at 9 o'clock. And the people were still there, so we had another meeting at 10 o'clock, and another meeting at 12 o'clock. They didn't want to go. They wanted to hear the gospel. So, what a testimony to the power of God. After he died, the family wanted to sell the house. Nobody wanted to buy the house of Don Fermin. Too many evil spirits are the house of the witch. The brother phoned me and says, what shall we do? Shall we buy it? They're selling it very cheap. Well, we bought the house. So the house of the witch became the gospel hall. Just like Voltaire's house became the office for the Bible societies. Yes. To God be the glory. God is working in Venezuela. He is saving souls. We spend a lot of our time. I have one more minute. We spend a lot of our time building halls. Not too much lately. We have built about maybe 15 or 20 halls. We built one hall right here in San Carlos for the conference. You're thinking of building a hall here in Jackson for the conference, are you? Well, the hall we built there in San Carlos would hold about 2,000 people. And every year it's very well filled. It wasn't a very easy task to build that hall, but the Lord provided. One day I went home and said to Sandra, Sandra, we'll finish for now. There's not a cent left. Next morning early, a widow came to the hall. Hermano Allen, I have this for you, for the hall. Working all her life cleaning bathrooms. I think she gave me most of her money. Who would have thought that Senora Georgina? The Lord sent her. The Lord provided. Building that hall. Well, all the brethren took it in help. There was a blind brother he wanted to help. But what can a blind brother do in a construction? Well, I can tie rebar. And I gave him a little lesson, and he started tying all the rebar for the hall. But then sisters arrived, and what can we do? Well, you can help tie the rebar too. So Domingo with a group of sisters tied all the rebar of that hall. When the rebar got done, we had to mix cement. So Domingo says, what can I do now? Well, I guess we can't give you anything to do now. He says, I can shovel sand. But how are you going to see where you can throw the sand into the cement mixer? You just tell me where. So I put him there before the cement mixer, shoveling the sand. The sand is here and the cement mixer is right here. The brethren says, no, brother. Well, let's see. So Domingo shoveled the sand without being able to see right into the hole of the cement mixer. Some people say they can't do anything. Domingo is now an elder in assembly. He learned to read Braille. He went to university. He got a university degree. He's an elder in assembly. He was saved in San Carlos, right here in San Carlos. 20 years of age, and he lost his sight. And he was just about to take his life. We were having gospel meetings in the tent. Will you come to the gospel meeting? He had the rope ready for to hang himself. But the Lord stopped him, and he got saved. So these are just a few little details. The Lord is working in Venezuela. I'm not going to tell you more of the situation. You know it more than I do. But it's terrific. You have $100 bills here. We had 100 believer bills in Venezuela. My mother used to buy all the groceries for a week with a 100 believer bill. Now, it won't buy one single candy. For to go to supermarket, you nearly have to take a suitcase of bills to buy if you don't have a card. But the situation is getting, you'll pray for Venezuela. Most of the Christians will eat maybe 2 times a day, maybe once a day. It's not easy. Venezuela is a very rich country, but where has all the money gone? We know where it's gone, but the door is wide open. Many years ago, my father came with us little boys here to Jackson. We talked about the work in Venezuela, and a sister was hearing. Some of you might know who she is, Donna Slack. And she says, I am going to go to Venezuela. Do you know she was a soldier? She left her imprint in Venezuela. It isn't always a preacher, is it? God works in mysterious ways, his works to perform. God is working in Venezuela. In amidst such violence, God is working. There's one little thing I didn't say. I would like to just say this before I get down. When we formed the assembly in Barinas, 15 years working, the week before, my wife says, Alan, What will we do if you're not here? Kidnappings all over the place, right? He says, well, go right ahead. It doesn't belong to me. She didn't know, but we're putting up the tent to help in the space work for the assembly, and I went over the edge. I have 14 screws here now. Titanium mesh. But they were forming the assembly. I was in the ICU unit. Sandra was in the sidewalk outside the hospital. But one brother said, no, we'll not form the assembly until the brother is out of hospital. He says, if you don't form the assembly, you'll finish killing him. And that was true. The work is God's work. All we are there is to do what God enables us to do. To him be all the glory. And God is working in the land of Venezuela. 18 preachers full time, but no. The work is being done by all the people. And assemblies were being formed. 216, there wasn't one single assembly formed. What happened? Well, we're not rushing, right? God's work is done in his own time. And I think I've gone over the hour. I'm very sorry, brother, but I saw a little notice in the program. It says approximate times. So you'll forgive me for going over a little bit of time. Thank you very much.